We gathered here last year, and then now it is another year. Another year nearer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another year nearer when we will meet our Lord face to face. And of course, we look forward to meet Him in the cloud of glory. And if He should delay, tarries, perhaps we'll meet Him some other way, but still face to face. And so curtain has been drawn for the year 2022. In a few hours' time, 2022 will be forever etched in history. Whatever is happening in 2022 will soon be forgotten. If not already forgotten, it will be forgotten. So as we look back 2022, in its remaining hours, we ask ourselves, how has the past 12 months been to you? How would you gauge or describe the past 12 months? And tonight we are going to look at a passage of scripture, praying that as we look through it, the Lord will help us to remember some of the things which the Lord has done, work in our lives. We are going to look at the passage in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament. Please open your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah is a book in the Old Testament that tells us of the grace of God. Or in the Old Testament, we often come across the word loving kindness. Has that? Loving kindness. The loving kindness of God. Because we see here the prophet Isaiah was sent particularly to the northern kingdom, Judah. Judah has immersed itself in sin, worshipping idols, going away from God. And yet God comes to them and pleads with them. And we see His tender mercies, His loving kindness, faithfully keeping His covenant with them, reaching out and seeking to redeem a stubborn, rebellious nation of Judah. But before we look at the passage that we are meditating on tonight, just maybe give us a glimpse of what is happening. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, which gives us a good summary. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, it says here, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth of his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel. unto anger. They have gone away backward. And so here it tells us, the Lord says, this is your condition to the children of Israel, the northern kingdom. Then he pleaded with them. Why, verse 5, why should he be stricken anymore? He will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, nor mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah. Then he continues on, he says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. It is a solemn, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, you are my sore hater. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hand, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye pray, make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. The saint of Judah is very bad. I mean, you look at it, when we read it, it is horrifying. Yet God is so gracious. You see, in verse 16, he continued on his plea with them. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. And the Lord says, come now, let us reason together. Save the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You see, our God is so gracious. Despite their sinfulness, despite their rebellions, yet the Lord pointed out their sin, yet at the same time is reaching out to them, even pleading with them. Come, let's talk about it. Let us reason together. Our God is not an unreasonable God. We are the one who are unreasonable. We refuse to reason with God. We insist on our own ways. When we reason, we know that we are wrong. It's so clear. And so we see in the book of Isaiah, again and again, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, bring this up again and again and again. And now we come to chapter 43, how God show forth his grace and how he was sent forth his servant to redeem them. That is in chapter 42. And now we come to 43. We see how the Lord seek to help them. And so in 43, we see the Lord's abiding presence. I am with thee, he says. His abiding presence and help, even amidst his chastisement of his people. We are going to focus primarily from verse 1 to 7. In verse 1, we see his personal interest in them, in Israel, in his people. Verse 2, we see his personal presence with them. Verse 3, his personal affection for them. Verse 5, his personal restoration of them. Until verse 7. His personal interests, his personal presence, his personal affection, his personal restoration. The Lord has a personal interest in his people. That is why he went all the way, reaching out to them. Seeking to help them, to bring them to the right path. And so we see in verse 1, it says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." We see a gracious reminder from the Lord. He graciously reminds them of his relationship with them, his interest in them. He addressed them, "O Jacob and O Israel." It's interesting why the Lord used Jacob, Israel. Jacob, Israel, they are both the same person. Jacob was a cunning, sly person who seeks to do things his own way, scheming, planning to achieve things by his own strength, his own effort. That is Jacob. Israel, on the other hand, is when Jacob, that sly, cunning man, realized that he was helpless, when he was unable to defend himself, when he was going to go back to his home in Canaan. Remember, he was running away from his brother Esau, because he took away the birthrights and the blessings from Esau. And so the mother heard the brother Esau says that, my father died. I'll get my revenge. Okay, I'll make sure he perish, he die." And so the mother of love Jacob and says, "Hey, this is very dangerous for you. All right? You better go to your uncle's house, okay, and stay there until I give you notice you come back." Okay. But the mother hasn't given him any notice yet at this point that he came back, because the father was still alive. But he had to come back because he was there with a lot of been cheated, and he tried to cheat back again, and so on and so forth. So in coming back, he said, "Now, how am I going to face my brother? He's going to kill me, you know." So he make up a plan, a scheme. So in his plan, well, he has accumulated enough wealth to buy gifts and presents. He said, "Oh, this group of people will go first." You know, when you give presents, people have make people happy a bit. I know, okay. But he wasn't too sure, okay, whether the brother will be satisfied with that. Then the next group of people, after the gift, will be his children, and then his wife. See, if my brother is still angry, you know, despite the gift, maybe he was softened when he see the, my children and all those relatives, you know. So maybe he will panchan, right? So he planned for all this, you know. Then his wife, you know. Then for himself, last, okay. Everything's safe, then he come home, right? But even that, with all this scheming and planning, his heart was still troubled. There's no assurance, no peace at all. All are his own human effort, and he knew all this effort, at best, is just uncertain. He doesn't know whether the brother will accept the gift, whether the brother will be pitiful to his children, his family, and so on. He doesn't know. So when you don't know, you are thinking of the possibilities, and what do you think? You think of the worst possibilities, right? So you're so fearful. Until he met the Lord. And in meeting with the Lord, he struggled with the Lord. And asked the Lord, "Bless me," and refused to let go. He learned to depend. He realized that unless the Lord bless me, I'll be in trouble. I cannot let go of God. I need the Lord to help me. And that was when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. He struggled with God. So Israel is a covenant name. Israel is one who has experienced the grace and the mercies of God. Israel is one who learned dependence upon God. And so the verse tells us, "But now, O thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." Jacob, I'm God. I am the one who created you. I'm in control of everything. Stop relying on your own self. Stop depending upon your own strength. And those are useless. Then he went on, that he is the Lord that what? That formed thee, O Israel. The word form is to shape, to design, to sculpture. I have redeemed you, I'm forming you, I'm shaping you for that masterpiece which I have for you. From a rebellious person to one who is submissive to the Lord. The Lord is the creator. Psalm 100 tells us that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And the Lord is the redeemer. He knows he's redeemed personally. It says, "I redeem thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He has a personal interest. As we gather this evening, I think a question we need to ask ourselves is, are we mindful of how the Lord has saved you, saved me? Sometimes we have taken for granted. I've been saved for how many years already? You never even think so much of it. But the Lord has been so gracious to you and to me. Why should He save you? Why should He save me in the first place? I think it's always good to go back to this basic. I am a wretched sinner. I don't deserve what God has done in my life to save me. And yet, He saved me. Why, of all people, me? And this is something that you and I should be thinking of. And how He has forgiven you, despite your sinning against Him, time and again and again and again and again. Think of how often in this past 1 year, don't think about further than that, past 1 year, you have been acting like Jacob. You have tried to do things your own ways and failed and be disappointed and discouraged. But then the Lord came through to you again and again and again and again, despite of what you have done. Is that true? This month we think about the Lord come, who came down from heaven's glory into the sinful world. We think of His name, He's Emmanuel. Yes, the Lord was with us, is with us. As you think of the past 1 year, indeed, the Lord says to you, to me, I'm with thee. Remember those occasions? When we purposely go against the Lord, doing sick to do things our own way, how the Lord comes to us, helping us, despite what we did. Are you thankful to that, to the Lord for this? Perhaps you didn't think of anything of it. But let this be a reminder to you and to me. Think of this. And be thankful. Be grateful. Then the Lord continues and says about His personal presence with them. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord said, I'm with thee. Whether this is a reference to say, now, think back about the past. The past when your ancestors came out of Egypt, they passed to the Red Sea. And as they go nearer to the Promised Land, they cross the Jordan River. Amidst their fears, the Lord was with them to protect them, to deliver them. We think of the crossing of the Red Sea. They just came out from Egypt. Not exactly totally out. Got at the border. Pharaoh suddenly thought, hey, it's a waste just to let them go, you know, like that. So he got his chariots, his army, in hot pursuit of the Israelites. the children of Israel. And they were what, walking, they were riding on donkeys, perhaps, and with children, young children, and old people. How fast can you move? So as they move on, you know, they come to the end, as it were. In front of them was the Red Sea. And behind them, they can hear, they can feel the trembling of the foot of the horses on chariots. Boom, 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 the whole place. They know it is coming nearer and nearer and nearer. You can see all the dust and smoke. In front, Dead Sea, a Red Sea. Behind, the Egyptian army, who is bent on killing them. What do you do? In all the years that they have been in Egypt, they have never been to a swimming pool, never learned any swimming lesson. For the past 100 years, they only learned how to make bricks. Not boats. What to do? How to cross? Sure die. But the Lord, through Moses, says, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. How the Lord will deliver you. So in those moments when you are panicking, when you are cornered, the Lord said, I'm with you, don't worry. The same was when they were crossing the Jordan River. Jordan River was overflowing with the water, running down from this Sea of Galilee, the melted ice of Mount Hermon. They couldn't cross. Just like that. What to do? Again, the Lord says, you trust me? Get the priest to go in front. Put the foot down. Water will stop. And the Lord did. Amidst their fears, the Lord was with them to protect them and deliver them. And in future, whether there will be trouble ahead or not, the Lord says, I am with you. So just as he was with them in the past, he will be with them and help them in the trouble to come. What an assurance. He says, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. May God, thou going through, when thou goest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Why? Because I am with thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Why? Because I am with thee. The flame kindle upon thee? No. Because I am with thee. It is with this assurance that the children of Israel should trust the Lord as they go on, whatever that's in front of them, whatever trouble might be. So again, we think back for ourselves this past 12 months. How the Lord has been with you personally. Now you are having trouble. But you were struggling with your health. And those moments, yes, your family may be there, but you are alone there. The Lord says, I was with you. know, you're struggling with your health and wonder, you know, are you going to get well, get better? The Lord said, I am with thee. When you were having difficult times in your relationship, the Lord was there with you, helping you with your the emotional upheaval in your heart. Think of the overruling circumstances the Lord has put in your life this past year. You planned to do this, you had the Lord change things so that you may be kept in a safe way. The Lord has been, just as the Lord has been with the children of Israel, He said, I am with thee. Singular, the Lord has been with you personally, with me personally. And so, as we think of how the Lord not only has redeemed us unto Himself personally, it has been with me in this past year. We can only say, Lord, thank you. Think of those events. One of the hymns that we often sing is hymn number 137. Turn to hymn book, please. 137. What is 137? Thanks to God. I'm going to read this. Think through the words as you reflect on how the Lord has been with you this past 12 months. Thanks, O God, for boundless mercies from thy gracious throne above. Thanks for every need provided from the fullness of thy love. Yeah, thanks for daily toil and labor. Thanks for rest when shadows fall. Thanks for love of friend and neighbor and thy goodness unto all. Thanks for thorns as well as roses. Thanks for weakness and for health. Thanks for clouds when it's gloomy, as well as sunshine. Thanks for poverty and wealth. Thanks for pain. Are you thankful for pain? As well as pleasure. Oh, thou sendest day by day, and thy word, our dearest treasure, shedding light upon our way. Thanks, O God, for home and fireside, for the comfort of your home, for the warmth in your home, where we share our daily bread, our daily makan. Thanks for hours of sweet communion when by thee our souls are fed. Thanks for grace in time of sorrow and for joy and peace in thee. Thanks for hope today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Does this express your heart? Let's be thankful. Thankful to what the Lord has done for us. And let us learn to inculcate thankfulness in ourselves. Write down how the Lord has been with you personally. Perhaps tonight some of you may not become prepared to testify anything at all. Say, I don't know. I don't know what to testify. Think of those moments. We have forgotten, we have taken for granted. The Lord was with you. The Lord helped you to go through those moments. Please don't take those things for granted. So as we think about all this, the Lord continues to say about his affection for them. His personal affection for them. He says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He redeemed his people out of his great love for them. He loved his people. They are precious in his sight. You and I are precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, as we think back again, how precious we are in that redemption, he sent his only begotten Son from heaven's glory into the sinful world to save you, to save me. And so let us not take John 3:16 very lightly. Yeah, we can mouth it, but it can be meaningless to you and to me. Oh, let it be meaningful. I remember years before the Lord in his mercy saved me. I was still in secondary school. I liked some of the Bible verses. And one of the verses which I like very much is John 3:16. I put down there, but it was meaningless to me. I like the words, that's all. That was to a non-Christian, the one who is not saved. But as for us who was saved, the Lord loved you so much, loved me so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That is not something for non-Christian to hear. It's for you and me, a Christian, to know and to be reminded that he loved us so much. He loved me so much to send his only begotten Son. He cares for you. He cares for me. And so he did everything for us because he loved us. Romans chapter 8. Tells us of the love of God. How much he loved us. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He loved us so much. Can anything separate us from God's love? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. we are counted sheep, as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so in verse 38, for I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And such is God's love for us. Be thankful. Be grateful. And God's love is so wonderful. There is a hymn which is not in our RHC, but it well describes God's love for us. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved Son. The aching soul again made whole and priceless pardon won. And that is the love of God for you, for me. So, do you take it for granted? Have you expressed that gratitude to him? How often have you done so for the past 12 months? Have you come before the Lord and said, Lord, I thank thee for loving me. Lord, I thank thee for saving me. Lord, I want to love thee more and more. Have you expressed this for the past 12 months to the Lord? If not, do so. Write it down. Write it down. And tell the Lord, I love thee. I thank thee for loving me. Then we continue on. Not only is this personal affection, his personal restoration of them. He says, fear not, verse 5, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. Yes, in his great love for his people, he said, I'm going to restore all of you. I'm going to chastise you and scatter you away, O Israel. But I'm going to bring you back. Whether you be north, south, or whatever it is, I'm going to bring you back. In his great love, the Lord cares for his people. The Lord cares for the children of Israel. He cares for you as well. It matters to God concerning you. Too trivial, too small, it doesn't matter to God. God, it matters to God. Anything concerning you. He tells us he cares for the sparrows. He cares for the lilies of the field. When he cares for the sparrows, he cares for the lily, he cares even more for you and me. He counted the very hair in your head. Something that we don't even bother. But he counted. It matters to God concerning you. And so if we have strayed away, we have not been walking close to the Lord says, return. Return. Come back to me. He's longing for you and for me to come back to him. Perhaps some of us may have lost our first love. We have not been so enthusiastic for the Lord. Other things have cropped in. Other things have become priority. Other things have become more important than the Lord. What are the other things? You know yourself. Is the Lord number one in your life? Has it been? Or has it become number two, number three, or number four, maybe down the road? If the Lord is no longer that number one in your life, repent. Return back to the Lord. Make right. Do what is right before the Lord. Remember, this is what the Lord told the church in Ephesus. Remember where you come from. And when we return, the Lord is ready to receive us. Be thankful that the Lord is ever so ready to forgive us and to restore us. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And may this be our desire. Just as the psalmist says in Psalm 51 verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Joy in rejoicing in the Lord. Joy in doing what the Lord wants me to do. Not dragging a feet. Not finding, Charles, why? Why me? The Lord says to you, to me, I'm with thee. So, brethren, as we look back in the past 12 months, the Lord was with us as we went through different seasons of life, different challenges. The Lord was with us. The Lord was with us when there were successes, when there were celebrations. In the same token, the Lord was with us also when we were faced with trouble and difficulties, when we have to deal with pain and discomfort. The Lord was with us. And just as he was with us in the past, as we embark into the new year, so he tarries in his return, he will be with us as well. That is our comfort. So in the meanwhile, as I mentioned it, again and again, that let us take time to write down what he has done for you, for me. And in doing so, we can thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord when we ask for testimonies. He says, I thank the Lord. In a weekly, where's my weekly? I think the last page is for you to write down your notes. How come this? Write the word, I thank the Lord. Fill in the blank the rest yourself. So just before I close, I just again another hymn of thanks that we are very familiar with. Hymn number 309. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercies sure and sweet. But I would praise Him for His grace. In prayer, I would repeat. Some thank Him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know He's mine. I trust in Him from day to day. I prove His saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to Him until I see His face. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and yes, and so free. What are you going to write down in that blank sheet of paper? I thank the Lord for. Let us pray. Father,